Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Sota Daf Chav Beis. We are holding on Daf Chav Aleph on Beis of the last line of the page, pretty much Rabbi Zreika Amar. Bit of an awkward spot that we stopped yesterday. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas' mother, Golda Basimcha La Shalom, and also in honor of the art site of Shimshon Ben Shmuel by his grandsons, his Neshama Shev and Aliyah. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we're going to do today is first we're going to finish up the last two definitions of what is a Rasha Arum, and that last definition of what is a Rasha Arum is someone who's Karav Vishadav Lashim Shlomid Chachamim. So that's going to bring us into a discussion of four opinions of who we compare someone who's Karav Vishadav Lashim Shlomid Chachamim to, meaning how bad is it to not be Mishamesh Talmid Chachamim. Then the Gemara is going to have five definitions of an Amma Aretz, and then the Gemara is going to tell us about how we learn certain lessons from a besula relating to Yiras Chet and a lesson relating to Kibul Schar from an almana, and the stories behind how we learned those lessons from those people. The Gemara on the toward the end of Amud Aleph is going to have two definitions of a Katan Shalo Kalulo Chadashav, who is one of the Mevalei Olam, that on our list of people who destroy the world is a Katan Shalo Kalulo Chadashav. And that seems unduly harsh, meaning Katan Shalo Kalulo Chadashav just means a premature baby. Why? What did he do wrong? So it obviously doesn't mean that. So the Gemara is going to have two definitions of what it actually means. And then on Amud Bey, the Gemara is going to have a list of seven different types of Prushin who are Mevalei Olam, people who seem like they're big tzaddikim and they're real ascetics and they don't get any Anas Olam Hazeh, but they're really terrible. They're really destroying the world. So we're going to have seven categories of such people. That's going to make us pretty much to the Mishnah on Amud Beis. Mishnah on Amud Beis is a long Mishnah that goes well into Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, but at least it starts out by talking about other opinions of about the impact of a woman having zuchuyos. We learned in a previous Mishnah that if a woman has zuchuyos, so we'll be told shanaacha, shtei shanim, shalosh shanim. So we're going to have other opinions as to the impact of what a zuchus will accomplish for her, as well as the Mishnah is also going to talk about what the cases are that we would burn her karban mincha, that we wouldn't go through with being makrivit, instead we would be soreif the karban mincha. We'll see how far we get. So let's begin again on Chaf Aleph and Beis, just pretty much the last line of the page. Rabbi Zreika Amar Rav Huna, a sixth possibility of what is a Rasha Arum, what is an example of a Rasha Arum, Zehamek L'atzmo U'machmir L'acherim. It's anyone who's makel for himself and he's machmir for other people. So he's secretly doesn't want anyone to know that he's makel in his own life and he's machmir for others, so that's a Rasha Arum. Ula Amar, Ula says a seventh and final definition of Rasha Arum, Zesha Karav Shana V'lo Shimish Tamid Chachamim. A person who learned Mikra and he learned Mishnah, but he was not Mishamish Tamid Chacham, which means, Rashi explains, he didn't learn the Svaros of the Gemara that explain all of the halachas in the Mishnah, so he's called a Rasha because his knowledge of Torah is very surface level. He doesn't understand the basis of any of the halacha, and he doesn't know how to derive one halacha from the other, and how to make distinctions between one halacha and the other. And a lot of times, the Gemara, that's all the Gemara does, is to find chilu. And that you can't compare this to that because there's a difference between this case and that case, and the person who has a very surface level understanding is not going to be able to accomplish any of that. And he's called an Arum because people will listen to him. People are going to think, oh, he's such a bucky. He knows all these halachas. He knows all the Mishnayos Baal Peh. Mishnayos is lav davka Mishnah, means halacha. He's able to say over teachings. He has this great amount of knowledge, so people will be very taken by him, and they'll think that they could rely on him, la'alacha, but he has no conceptual understanding of la'alacha. He has no ability to interpret the halacha and to know how to handle new situations that arise in halacha. That is how Rashi understands. The Meiri writes that anyone who's not toreach to be Meshamesh Tamir Chamim and to be Mekabel the Hanhagos of Tamir Chamim, he's showing that he doesn't really have Kavanah Torah. And he just wants to learn in order that he could be able to be Lekanter, Lekapech al Tamir Chamim, in order to be able to agitate Tamir Chamim, to challenge Tamir Chamim, and that's why the person is a Rasha Arum. So very different than Rashi, right? Rashi understands Zol Shimish Tamir Chamim is not really about Midos, it's not really about the Shimish Tamir Chamim, what we typically call Shimish Tamir Chamim. It means learning Gemara. It means learning how the Torah works, whereas the Meiri seems to understand that it's what we generally refer to when we talk about Shimush Tamid Chamim, which is to serve them, to help them, to hang around a lot near them, to be able to observe them, things of that nature. Rav Shach always told us that Shimush Tamid Chamim means that you spend time with the Tamid Chamim so that you understand what each hanhaga is based on. That you understand, I mean, when you see the hanhaga, it's not just time to be able to tell, but to understand what the hanhagas are based on, what chumrah they're trying to observe, what halacha they're trying to fulfill, and it's a depth of understanding of how to live life through the Torah, of understanding how that relates back to the Torah. If you just tell a bunch of stories about Tamid Chacham, but you have no idea what the Hanhaga is based on, so that's not Shimush Tamid Chachamim. And that's how he always, that's really what he did, right? Meaning the three books that he wrote about Rav Soloveitchik are not just Stam, this is what Rav Soloveitchik did. It's based on this Gemara, it's based on that, that Chumrah, it's based on that Magen Avraham, it's based on, that's how he understands what the very definition of Shimush Tamid Chacham is. Okay, so now the Gemara tells us, what do we compare someone who is Karav Vishan of Lashimish Tamil Chamim to? So, four opinions. Number one, Itmar Karav Vishan of Lashimish Tamil Chamim, Rabbi El Ozar Omer, Hareza Amaaretz. He's like an Amaaretz. Amaaretz is a halachic category, someone whose peros are demai. If you buy peros from him, you have to assume that he was not mafresh maisos from it. He's not Neeman with regard to Taharos. The Gemara Chagiga tells us that Big Day Amaaretz are a medrus leprushim, someone who's observant of Tumen Tahara and whose Tamil Chacham has to treat the Beggar of an Amaretz as if it's Tumen Tumas Medris, because they're not familiar enough with the halachas of Tumen Tahara. So it's a halachic category of people where that creates a demai, and that generates that their Begadim have a din of Medris. So that category includes those who are Karav Hashana, who learn Tanakh, who learn Mishnayis, but are just not Mishamish Tamid Chachamim. A second opinion, Rav Shua Bar Nachmani Amar, Hareza Boor. No, someone's not Mishamish Tamid Chachamim is worse than an Amaretz. He's totally empty. He's a boor. Worse than an Amaretz. He doesn't even know the way Rashi explains in Pirkei Avos. He doesn't even know Masa Umatad. He doesn't even know how to function in a proper way. And Rashi quotes from the Targum on the Pasuk, Vadam Lotusam Va'ara Lotibor, and the Rambam writes that an Amaretz is someone who doesn't have malus sichlios, but he has at least some malus hamidos. He may not be an Amaretz, may not be an intelligent person, but he's a refined person. A boor is someone who's not even a refined person. So that's a little bit different than what Rashi says, right? Rashi says he's grua me'amaretz, he doesn't know masu matan. The Rambam says that he's grua me'amaretz because an Amaretz at least will have refined midos, but this fellow doesn't even have refined midos. And the Rabbeinu Yonah writes that a boor, because he's so empty, he doesn't even know how to protect himself from averos. That maybe an Amaretz is someone who will not know how to do all the mitzvos, but a boor will just constantly be falling into doing all sorts of averos. A third explanation, Rabbi Yane Omer, Hareza Kuti, that someone who's not Mishamish Tamid Chachamim is like a Kuti who's not who doesn't pay attention to the Divrei Chachamim whatsoever. That's a defining characteristic of a person who's a Kuti. Rashi writes in Masechta Avodah Zarah that Kutim are not Choshesh for Medrash Sofrim. They're not Choshesh for the Torah Shebal Peh's interpretations of the Torah Shebichsav. For example, when it says Lifnei Iver Lo Sitei Michshol, the Chacham tell us that means that you shouldn't be machshel someone in Isser. They understand, Rashi writes, that Lifnei Iver Lo Sitei Michshol is only on a literal level, that you shouldn't put a stumbling block in front of a literal blind person. The Maral in Chidush HaGadlus writes that a Kuti doesn't want to learn Torah Shebal Peh, he only wants to learn Torah Shebichsav, and Torah Shebichsav without the Torah Shebal Peh has no real explanation, meaning it needs the user's manual, which is the Torah Shebal Peh. So he says that's what we're comparing someone who's Lo Shimish Tamid Chachamim to. It matches very nicely, because if someone learns Mishnayis without learning the Gemara, the Mishnayis are just they're very shallow, and you don't really understand what's behind it. It's very similar to learning Torah Shebichsav without learning the Torah Shebal Peh. So even though Mishnah is the core text of Torah Shebal Peh, but you still need the Gemara to be able to interpret the Mishnah. So that's why he's like a kuti in that sense. And then the final opinion of Achbar Yaakov Omer Hareza Magosh, that he's like a mechashef, like someone who does sorcery to trick people. So Amar of Nachmar Yitzchak Mistavak Rav Achbar Yaakov. The Rav Achbar Yaakov is the one that seems most correct, that it's like a sorcerer. Damri Inchi, because that's what people say, that the Ratin Magosh of the that just like a mechashev has all sorts of incantations and things that he says that are nonsense, they don't make any sense, they don't seem to correspond to anything, and he doesn't even know what it means. He just has his book of sorcery, so he knows, oh, this is what you say if you want to accomplish this, and this way, so he's just saying things. So too, someone who learns Mishnayis and Samasham Shavicham doesn't learn Gemara, he's just saying things, just saying words, but he doesn't really know what any of those words actually mean. Okay, so now the Gemara goes on to discuss the five definitions of who is an Ama Aretz. Tan Rabbanan, Ezehu Ama Aretz. What is the definition of an Ama Aretz, or what is a prototypical example of an Ama Aretz? Kol she'enu kori kriya shema shachris v'arvis bivircho seha. Someone who doesn't say kriya shema two times a day with the Birchos Kriya Shema. That if he doesn't know how to say Kriya Shema, then he certainly doesn't know anything. But if he knows how to say Kriya Shema, but he doesn't say it with the Brachos, then he's an Amar. It's Divrei Rabbi Meir. That's the definition of an Amar. So even Rabbi Meir is a very minimal definition to get out of the category of an Amar. You just need to say Kriya Shema b'Birchoseha twice a day, and then you're already not an Ama Aretz. The Gemara Maseches Brachos Daf Mem Zayin says that according to Rabbi Meir, an Ama Aretz is someone who doesn't eat chulin b'tahara. So Tosfos is bothered. Well, that's a much higher standard. I mean, over here it's Rabbi Meir, same Rabbi Meir. Over here says an Ama Aretz is someone who doesn't, that anyone who says Kriyash Vashachos Arvus b'Birchosel is already not an Ama Aretz. And then over there he requires they got to eat chulin b'tahara. So Tosfos says that there are many different types of Ama Aretz. That's what Tosfos writes over here in Dibur Maskel Kol Chein Kor Kriya Shema Shachris V'Arvis, that there are different types of Ama Aretz, and it means different things in different places. There's the type of Ama Aretz you shouldn't marry your daughter off to. There's the type of Ama Aretz you shouldn't travel with because you have to be concerned he's going to kill you. So the word Ama Aretz it's never meant as a compliment, but it means different things in different contexts. So he says there's an Ama Aretz about which Chazal say in Psachim Daf Mem Tes that you don't give him Eidos and you're not Machzir Zaveda. And then there are Amea Aretz that are Kashala Eidos, but they're called an Ama Aretz because in Mizamna Love, and you have to worry about their Trumas and Maisos and their Taharos and things like that. So different different levels of Ama Aretz might have different definitions. Now it's interesting that it doesn't just say that Lo Kar Kriyashma Shachar Zavis, but Bivir Choseha. So we've pointed out many times in the past, Rav Shachar points out in the Nimr of Soloveitchik, that the Birchos Kriyashma are different than the Brachos that we have associated with just about any other mitzvah. When it comes to other brachos, there's the kiyum mitzvah, and then there's the bracha, the chazal or misakin that you recite on that mitzvah. The kima mitzvah is the same with a bracha, without a bracha, but you get the schar of saying the bracha, fulfilling that mandate of chazal. Plus, it helps you focus on the mitzvah. There are benefits in addition to fulfilling that mandate of chazal of saying a bracha. But when it comes to kriya shema, with the way chazal were misakin, the birchus kriya shema is that it's an entirely different kiyum when you say kriya shema b'li birchoseha versus kriya shema b'birchoseha. Kriya Shema with its brachos is an entirely different kiyum mitzvah. It's a much higher level kiyum mitzvah, and that's why the Rambam paskins when it comes to a situation where a person is masupak as to whether he is obligated to do a mitzvah. So it's a mitzvah daraisa, so savi daraisa l'chumra. What about the bracha? Does it say a bracha if he's masupak? So the Rambam is consistent throughout Mishnah Torah that one does not recite the bracha. Yet when it comes to Kriya Shema, he says that yes, you do recite the bracha. Why would it be that one would recite the bracha? Because the bracha is not just savi brachos on the bracha. bracha. The brachas on Kriya Shema are part of the Kiyuma Mitzvah, and they go along with the Kiyuma Mitzvah. And that's why Rav Salavitchik and his Talmidim of Shaftar in particular are so very makbid, not just that they should say the three parshas of Kriya Shema before the Zman, but they should say Kriya Shema im birchosela before the Zman Kriya Shema. When Rav Shaftar goes away for Shabbos to a community that davens at 9 o'clock Shachris, and they're at that Tkufa, which is like 80% of the year, where you miss Zman Kriya Shema when you daven 9 o'clock Shachris. So if there's no earlier minyan to go to, he'll daven Shachris b'yichidus, so that he'll be able to say Kriya Shema im birchoseha, and then he'll show up to shul on time and pretend to daven, but he daven Shachris b'yichidus, so that you could be mekayim Kriya Shema im birchoseha. That it may be even more of a chashvakiyum than tefillah b'tzibur. Okay, so maybe that's what Gemara is alluding to, that someone who doesn't read Kriya Shema im birchoseha is an amaretz. The Chacham say a second possibility: anyone who says Kriya Shema, but Kriya Shema includes a pasuk, and this person is not wearing tefillin, so it's as if he's made edus sheker al atzmo. The Gemara in Brachos says, so that's an amaretz. He's talking psukim about wearing tefillin, he's not even wearing tefillin. Benazay Omer, a third possibility: kol shein lo tzitzis bibigdo, that he's also made the sheker al atzmo. He reads the parsha of tzitzis and he doesn't have any tzitzis on his beged. The Medrash says k'shukor Kriya Shema ve'enel of tefillin v'tzitzis, it's made the sheker al atzmo. That's what the Magen Avram quotes in Shulchan Aruch and Simon Chavdalin in the name of the Zohar, that someone who's kor Kriya Shema below tzitzis is also made the sheker. So the Talmud Bavli doesn't say that. Talmud Bavli only says, Gemara Brachos says, someone who says Kriya Shema without tefillin is made a sheker al atzmo, but you have the Zohar and you have the Medrash Sechatov that say that that even someone who doesn't have tzitzis is when he says Kriya Shema is also made a sheker al atzmo. And the Teferis Tzion over here, he writes, but the Gemara is meduyuk and slashon. It doesn't say kol shein lo tzitzis. It says kol shein lo tzitzis bebigdo, because the nature of the chiyuv of tzitzis is that if you have a beged that's chayiv in tzitzis, then you need to put tzitzis on it. So if you have this beged and then there's no tzitzis on it, then it's a melei de sheker al atzmo, then you're an amaretz. But if you don't even have the beged to begin with, you don't have the beged of zal kafos, then it would not be considered melei de sheker al atzmo, because it's not a bitul mitzvah. Then a fourth possibility, Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef Omer, kol sheyesh lo banim veinu megadlon nilmo Torah. Someone who's blessed with children, but he's not megadlon them to learn Torah, he doesn't raise them to learn Torah. So that's also melei de sheker when he says Kriya Shema, because he says v'limad demos onus menechem. So he's saying all of these things that ostensibly he's declaring are so wonderful, but then he doesn't actually do it. He doesn't actually teach his children Torah. He's not mekayim that which he says. That's how the Marshal explains that this is also a melei de sheker. Acherim omrim that an amaretz is afilu kori v'shona v'lo shimish t'milchamim. Even if a person does mikra, learns mishnayis, but he's not mishamish tamid chachamim, means he doesn't learn from tamid chachamim how to learn Gemara, how to analyze the Mishnah. Zehu ama aretz. That is an ama aretz that Chum referred to all over the place. Karav lo shana harez a boor, and if a person doesn't even learn Mishnayis, he only learns Mikra, that's worse than an Amaretz, that's a boor. Lo karav lo shana, and if he doesn't even learn Mikra, alava kasvomer vizarati espesi shal, espesi yudu zara adam, vizara behema. And he's a total fool, he's like a behema that doesn't know anything. So those are the three madrigals. So better to be kara than not to do anything at all, even better yet to be shana, so that at least you could be an Amaretz and not a boor. And better yet, to be kara v'shana v'shimish t'milcham, then you could be a talmid chacham. So the Gemara brings another drasha about someone who's not mishamish t'milcham. The pasuk in Mishlei says that Shlomo Melech instructed Rechavam, his son, Yireyas Hashem b'ni u'melech va'am shonim v'im shonim altis arev. That he tells him, don't get mixed in with shonim. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak elu sheshonim halachos. That means don't get mixed in with people who learn halachos. What's so bad about people who learn halachos? No, it means people who are karav v'shana v'lo shimish t'milchamim, people who don't learn Gemara. So it says more pshita. Isn't that obvious that that's what the pasuk means? It says v'im shonim al tesarif. What else could v'im shonim mean other than people who are shonim alachos. So the Nitziv says, I don't know, is that really so obvious? When you learn that pasuk and you look at the pashut pshat of the pasuk, it's so pashut, it means people who are shona halachos. So the pashtus, he says, just look at the mafarshim on the side of the page. He says the pashtus is, if you look in the Ralbag and the Ibn Ezra, the normal mafarshim that you would look at when you learn Tanakh, is that it means people who are mishanim midivrei Hashem, people who change from what Hashem wants them to do, or people who are mishanim from pekudas hamelech, from what the king tells them to do. That's what the Mitzuda says over there. So he says the pashtus of the pasuk is certainly mishanim midivrei Hashem or midivrei hamelech, but the Gemara says that just from the fact that he used the term shonim and not mishanim, it's clear that there's an additional level of interpretation in the pasuk, and that additional level of interpretation is pshita what it is. That's what the Gemara is asking. That it's that obviously this the pshuto shel mikra is about people who are mishanim from dvar Hashem, or the dvar Melech or something like that. But the fact that it chose to use the word shonim and not mishanim is the pasuk is indicating to us that there's another level of interpretation. And the Gemara is saying it's obvious that additional level of interpretation is someone who's shona halachos. So says Gemara, no, it's not so obvious. Mal detem shonin v'chet. I might have thought that shonin means the people that Shlomo HaMelech, that Rechavim shouldn't hang out with, are people who are shona v'chet, who are repeat offenders of averos. Ukid Rav Huna, when a person does an avera and is shanaba, repeats the avera, it becomes mutter in his own eyes. He thinks that he's doing something that's mutter once he repeats the avera. So kamash malan, that's why Rabbi Yitzchak has to tell me that's not what it's referring to. That Shlomo is telling Rechavam, don't even spend too much time, don't mix in with people who are shonim halachos, but are not mishamish tamid chachamim. So Tana, hatanoim mevali olam. Those who learn Mishnayos are Mevali Olam. They're ruining the world. So Mevali Olam Salka Daitach. Someone who learns Mishnayos is Mevali Olam. What are they harming other people? They may not be developing their sense of Talmud Torah the way they should if all they're doing is Mishnayos and they're never taking it beyond that. But how are they harming the world? So Ravina says, no, it doesn't mean people who learn Mishnayos. Shemarin Halacha Mitoch Mishnasan. That they think that because they learn Mishnayos, they could be Mora Halacha. That they think that Mishnayos are the epitome of all learning, and since they know a little bit of Mishnayos, that they could determine what the halacha is. And the way halacha works is that often the shaila that comes up is not exactly the same halacha that appears in the Mishnah. The shaila that comes up involves some medama milsa la milsa, comparing one thing to another, knowing how to make a chilek, knowing what to compare, what to make a chilek, knowing how to analyze, knowing what the basis of the halacha is. So you get all the halachas wrong if you're just trying to paskin halachas based on the Mishnayos. And that's harmful to other people. If you start paskining for other people and you get it wrong all the time, so that's very harmful. That's mevali olam. Tanya nami hachi. Amar Rabbi Yeshua v'chi mevali olam ein. Are people who are learning Mishnayos, are they mevali olam? V'lo miyashri olam ein. Shnemar halichos olam lo. The pasuk says in Chabakuk, halichos olam lo, and we darshan al tikri halichos ala halachos. That someone who's shona halachos is miyashri olam. They're keeping, they're doing something very good for the world. So ela shemor na halacha mitoch mishnasan. So no, people who learn Mishnayos are doing good things for the world. But if they take it to the next step and they start being more halacha, that's where we fault them for being a very destructive force. Isha Prusha. We then said that an Isha Prusha is also among the Mevali Olam. So Tanu Rabbanan Besula Tzalyanis V'Almana Shovavis. If you have a Besula who is always davening, she's someone who's a Tzalyanis, she's always Bitsulusa, she's always davening, and an Almana Shovavis, you have an Almana who's a good neighbor, so she's always going to visit her neighbors. For katan shlo kallu chadashav, or if you have a katan who's not who didn't go to full term, is a simple reading. Hare ilu mevali olam. That's also among those who are ruining the world. So says the Gemara. Eini, is that so? V'am Rabbi Yochanan lemanu yiras chait mi besula v'kibul sachar me almana. We learned two very valuable lessons from a besula and an almana. We learned yiras chait and kibul schar from a besula and an almana respectively. Kibul schar means how much a person should. should make an effort to be mekayim mitzvos beyond the chiyuv in order to be mekabel schar, in order to get the reward. And the Gilyonos Kulis Yaakov, he raises a question that the Gemara is going to say later in today's daf, that prosh me'ava, that a person should do someone who does mitzvos l'shem kibel schar is not the proper way to behave. So how could the Gemara say that we learn kibel schar from an almana? So he says, no, you're allowed to do almanas kabel pras for kibul schar when you're doing beyond the chiyuv, when you're doing beyond what the halacha expects of you. So anyway, so yerushchet mi besula. What was the story of yerushchet that we learned from a besula? Rabbi Yochanan shamalehi besula denafla apa v'ka'amra. Rabbi Yochanan heard of a particular besula, the young girl that was she fell on her face and she was saying in tefila, Ribono shalom brasa gan eden brasa gehenim brasa tzadikim brasa rishayim yirat samufnecha shlo yikashlu bi b'nei adam. That it should be your will that no one should be nichshal in me and lose their chelik in Gan Eden and have to go to Gehenim on account of me. So it's interesting that first of all that her focus was on other people, not only on herself, to save other people from Gehenim. It's also interesting to me that the way the Gemara says when she davened is nafla a'apa, that she did a nefilas apayim. I just gave a Temer Alakshir the other day about why it is that women don't say tachnun. I just discovered that women don't say tachnun. I didn't know that was a thing, that women don't say tachnun. Someone texted me before Pesach, have you ever heard of this thing that women don't say tachnun? Sure enough, you open the art school women's sitter, tachnun isn't there. They don't even have, on the app, you have the option. It's like an option. You can click on or off that tachnun should appear on the app. But tachnun isn't there for women. So it's apparently a minhag that women don't say tachnun. Rav Falk, the author of Mechzel Eliyahu and other svarim, writes in a tshuva, Chelek Aleph Simun Chaf, that minhag is women don't say tachnun and nobody talks about it. It's not, there's no like tshuva about it. He's the only tshuva pretty much about it. So someone sent me an email in Rav Ephraim Greenblatt in Rivvo Sefraim, he has a tshuva about it where he says Rabbi Falk has a tshuva about it, meaning it's they just all. So it's fascinating. It's very, they all try to come up. He tries to come up with explanations as to why that would be the case, that women would skip tachnun. None of the reasons are so super duper convincing. But anyway, over here you have, here's a woman of Basula, nafla apa, that she didn't. Tachnun is a very powerful tefillah. It's only reshus. The Torah quotes from Rabbi Trunai going, it's only reshus, but it's a very powerful tefillah. The Gemara tells us that that a person is nene dafka at a time when they say tachnun. So we're eager to get tachnun back. We're hoping this is our neshal meparim svaseinu. We're eager to get it back soon. So kibul schar me almana. They also learned kibul schar from an almana. Di almana David beknishta b'shivusa. There was an almana that had a beis haknesses in her city. Kol yoma havasasi umasah b'mishashin Rabbi Yochanan. But instead she would go to Rabbi Yochanan's beis medrash to daven. So Amar lo, Rabbi Yochanan said to her, "Biti lo beis haknesses b'shivusach. Don't you have a shul in your city?" So Amalei, she said to Rabbi Yochanan, "Rabbi, lo schar psios yeshli, but don't I get schar psios for walking further to be able to come to your base medrash? So it's worth it for me to get the extra schar psios." Interesting that the assumption was that the woman is supposed to daven in shul. You know, mechitza is one of those halachos that for whatever reason doesn't appear in Shulchan Aruch. You need a mechitza in shul. So the Achronim discuss why it is. It appears in the Gemara at the end of Masech Sukkah, but why is it that it doesn't appear in the Shulchan Aruch? So one of the suggestions Achronim have is that women used to never come to shul. So over here you see that here's a woman who came to shul, and Rabbi Yochanan's surprise was not that she came, but was that she came to the further shul and she didn't go to the more convenient shul. There's a question whether you're even supposed to do that. The Magen Avraham writes in Siman Sadi, and Mishavur quotes it, that if you have two Batei Knesios in the city, it's a mitzvah to go to the further one because you get schar psios based on this Gemara. But on the other hand, there is a principle of ein mavirin al mitzvos, that if you shouldn't pass by an opportunity to do a mitzvah. So the Achronim are troubled by our Gemara schar psios to go to the further one when you have a mitzvah to do and you have it closer by, you get extra schar to dafka go further away. That's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is not the walking. The mitzvah is davening in the shul. Adrabah, go to the closer one, get there a few minutes early, and daven more, right? You would think that would be this karpsiyos. So the acharim say there must have been something better about the further shul, that it had a talmud chacham, like Rabbi Yochanan, it was a makom of learning, something like that. Or maybe that the further shul was a place that was always in existence, and then they built the shul closer. So that was already the makom kavua l'tfila that the person had. So just because they built a closer place, they didn't switch. Something like that. Okay, so anyway, so says the Gemara, you see that this almana would go daven in the Beis Medrash, and Rabbi Yochanan praised her. She's not me mevale olam. So kikamer gon Yochani bas retivi. When we say that an almana that's a good neighbor is mevale olam, that an almana in the neighborhood is mevale olam, that means like a Yochani bas retivi, who is a machshefa. And when it would come time for a woman to give birth, she would prevent the birth from happening al yidei kishuf. And then when the woman was going through a long and protracted and difficult labor, she would show up and say, "Oh, I'll daven and I'll save the day." And the woman would give birth, and she would lift the kishuf that was preventing the woman from giving birth. So that's mevali olam. Okay, my kaddish lo kol lo chadashav. We said on the list of people who are mevali olam is a kaddish lo kol lo chadashav. Ostensibly, that means a premature baby. What did he do wrong? So hacha targimo zet talmud chacham hamevayit parabosav. No, it means a talmud chacham who rebels against his rebbeim. So he's like a kaddish lo kol lo chadashav because he's not going to live a long life. The Gemara says that a talmud chacham's vayit parabosav is going to be meis lefnei zmano. He's going to die prematurely. Rabbi Abba amar zet talmid shelo igia lo ra'o mora. No, it's referring to a talmid who is not yet at a stage in his learning where he should be issuing psak halacha, but he does it anyway. Dam Rabbi Yavo amar avunam rav ma'i dechsev. What does the pasuk in Mishlei mean? Ki rabim chalalim ipila va'atzumim kol harugeha. Ki rabim chalalim ipila zet talmud chacham shelo igia lo ra'o mora. That's a person who is not higila ra, and he issues psak halacha anyway. He pilas milashon of a nefel that he didn't fulfill, meaning a nefel of someone is a baby that wasn't in utero long enough. So this is a person who wasn't in yeshiva long enough. He didn't stay in the Beis Medrash long enough to learn enough before starting to issue piskei halacha. Vatsum kol arugeha zet talmud chacham shehigia lo ra ve'eina mora. And then it's also bad for a talmud chacham who's higia lo ra and not to be mora, that a person has to take that responsibility. The Gemara Nida and Daf Chaf discusses about talmid chacham that didn't want to get involved in paskening shailas that relate to Isser Kares like Nida, but they felt that they had to because if they had the expertise and they had the ability to, so then they had a responsibility that they had to do it. Vad kama, what age can a talmid chacham be confident that it was enough time that now he's ready to be a gil ra? Arbon shnin, so 40 years. Rashi assumes that means 40 years old. Tosa says, no, that's not what Arbaim Shana means. You could have a 40-year-old that just started learning the day before that, and you could have a 40-year-old that's been learning since the day he was born. So Tosa says, no, it means 40 years from when he started to learn. And he brings a raya from the Gemara in the first parak of Avodah Zarah. It says, V'lo nasan Hashem lecham lev l'das ad hayom hazeh, that a person is not omed al das rabo until 40 years. And that was 40 years after Matan Torah that we're learning it from. So it's 40 years after starting to learn Torah. It's not the age of 40. There was a proclamation or a cherem of sorts that was issued many years ago in Prague in the time of the Nodeb Yehuda, that no one below the age of 40 is allowed to publish a sefer in halacha, because they had all these svarim in halacha that were being put out by people who were very young. They didn't have enough of a broad base of knowledge, and it was all wrong. Everything that they were saying was wrong. So they made such a thing. No one should give a haskama to any sefer in halacha put out by someone below the age of 40. So they had such a, for a while, that was observed. Okay. So says Gemara, Eini Varaba Ori, but Rabba was a big posek, and Rabba died at the age of 40. He was the Gemara tells him Saks Rosh Hashanah. He and Abaye were both descendants of Eli HaKohen, and so he died at the age of 40. So says the Gemara, Bishavin. Now it's only when he's an equal of the Gadol Ir B'Chachma, or there's no other rabbi in the city. city, then he's allowed to issue a psak halacha even below the age of 40. Or makos prushin. So we said that makos prushin are also mevali olam. So Tan Rabban Shiva prushin. There are seven examples of prushin where their precious is not laudable. It's something that's really terrible. So parash shichmi, parash nikvi, parash kizai, parash maduchya, parash machavasi ve'asana, parash me'ava, parash me'ira. So let's explain what each one means. Parash shichmi means zeh osamei sashchem. It means a person who acts with precious the way that the Bnei Shechem did. Meaning, they did it for their own hana'a. They didn't do it l'shem shemayim when they got a bris milah. So someone who acts with precious for his own benefit so that people should respect him, but not for l'shem shemayim, so that's parash shichmi. Parash nikvi, zeh menakef es raglav. That's a person who keeps banging his feet. He doesn't lift his feet too far up off the ground. He keeps stumbling on rocks because he walks in such a way that he's as if he's so humble that he doesn't, he takes very tiny steps. So that's a false type of modesty. Parash kizai, Amram Nachum Yitzchak, zeh mekes dam l'ksalim. Someone who keeps bloodletting by banging into walls. Doesn't mean he's literally bloodletting. It means he keeps banging into things because he walks around with his eyes closed all the time because he has such precious. He doesn't want to look at anything or anybody, so he doesn't lift his head up. So he keeps bleeding. Parash maduchya, Amram Barshila, de meshapaki maduchya, that his body is completely bent over like a maducha. That's also a false sense of anivus. Parish machlo vasi ve'asena. Then you have a parish who says, "What is my chiyuv?" And I'm prepared to do whatever my obligation is. So says Gemara, "Hamal yusihi." That one really sounds good. No, the guy is willing to do whatever his obligation is. So why is that mevali olam? Ela da'amar machlo vasi su ve'asena. He's not someone who says I'm willing to do whatever needs to be done. He's saying, "What else could I possibly do that I haven't already done?" So that's a Vale olam. Parish me ava, parish me yira, and someone who's parish because of ava, and ava of schar of mitzvos, or yira of onesh from not doing the mitzvos, so that's also not a good thing. So Amalei Abaye l'Rava, v'Rava l'Tana, so Abaye and Rava told the person who was teaching this brisa, lo tisni, parish me ava, parish me yira, take off of your list those last two categories of prushim. Tam Ravi Dom Rav, liolam yasukad that's a good thing. Even if a person has intention shalol lishma initially, he should keep on. We should encourage that behavior because by continuing to do that, eventually he will get to a point of being osek lishma. Tosos, of course, raises the question that the Gemara in Tainus of Zion tells us that anyone who is osek b'torah shalol lishma, it becomes like a sama mavis for him. And the Gemara Bracha says anyone who is osek b'torah shalol lishma, it says noach lo shalol nivra, he'd be better off had he never been born. So how come our Gemara says that, and the Gemara Pesachim, the same Gemara appears in Pesachim, that it's good to learn Torah Shalol Lishma, Shemitok Shalol Lishma, Bal Lishma. So Tosfos famously says that there are two types of Shalol Lishma. A person who learns Torah is Osek in Mitzvos for the sake of Kabbalah Schar, or because he's afraid of being punished, and not because he just wants to do the Ratzon HaBorei. So that you're allowed to do. Mitok Shalol Lishma, Bal Lishma. But if you learn Torah, not Al Manas L'Kayim, but just to become a bigger Rasha, because now you know how to violate the Torah better, and you learn, or to be Lomid Al Manas L'Kanter, to give a hard time to Tamid HaChachamim, so that's the bad kind of Shalol Lishma. That's the kind of Shalol Lishma, that's a Sama Maves. So sometimes Torah learning is actually the wrong thing for a person. That a person learns just to mock Tamid Chacham. It's a popular thing nowadays that people will learn and then they'll have an Instagram feed of whatever of making a mockery of all of Tamid Chacham and all of Torah Shebaal Peh. So such a person is better off not learning. That's mevalei olam. That's the worst kind of shalol lishma. Amram Nachmi Yitzchak demetamra metamra. If that which is hidden is hidden, udemegalia megalia, and that which is revealed is revealed. Beidina Rabbel is par mehani de chafugundi. But the Beis Nagadol up in Shemayim, everything is revealed to up there, and that will ultimately pay back from those who pretend to be Prushim and cover themselves in a talus and act in such a way, but they're not really sincere in their behaviors. Amrlo Yanei Malka l'debese. Yanei Amelech said to his wife when he was dying, and she was afraid that after he dies, the Chachmei Yisrael are going to have an uprising against her children and they're going to lose the Melucha. So he said to his wife, Al tisyari min aprushin. Don't worry about the actual Prushim, about the Chachmei Yisrael. They're tzaddikim. They're not going to do anything to you. They don't look to harm anybody. And you know who else you don't have to worry about? Velomi mi she'enon Prushim. You don't have to worry about the people that don't act like Prushim at all, because that's my chevra. Those are my buddies. Those are the people that I hang out with. Ella minatzvuin shadom leprushim. The people you have to fear the most are the people who pretend to be like Prushim, but only in an external way. Shema aseim kamaisa zimri. Their actions are like the actions of Zimri, but umvakshin schar kapinchas. But they seek schar like Pinchas. So those are the people that you have to be most cautious of in general, but particularly in her circumstance. The Achron point that we dafka pick Zimri and Pinchas because they were two sides of the same event. Since they were both mesiaches to the same topic, to the same issue, and it was one was the opposite to the other, so that's why we compare these people to someone who does the maisa of evil and wants the schar of the person who did the greatest mesiras nefesh of good. Okay, Beis Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with the Mishnah and we'll Beis Hashem try to finish the parak. Oh, yeah. Have a good day. Me too.